Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
News you can use. Connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the Morning.
8 minutes past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. Thank you for being with us. It's Thursday. Some have said that in our culture, we have entered into a new period of lawlessness. As a matter of fact, a frequent guest on our program, Dr. Alex McFarland from the Truth for a New Generation Apologetics Conference, he brought that to mind, said those very same things just a couple of weeks ago. Do sometimes those of us in the church encourage lawlessness unwittingly, even when we don't mean to? Is there a sense in which maybe we encourage it and nurture it along when we're actually trying to rein in lawlessness? Think about that for a moment with all the protestations and demonstrations we've seen over the summer. Joining us to weigh in on the issue of lawlessness and the way the church deals with it and maybe doesn't deal with it so well, our great friend Miki Addison. She's with the Urban Family Talk Network, a part of the American Family Association. She's on our newsline. Miki Addison, welcome back to our program. Thanks for being here.
It's always great to be with you, Austin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to talk to you. I don't know that on your talk program, if you and your husband, you co-host a show, of course, with your husband. I don't know if the word lawlessness comes up on a regular basis, but certainly issues pertaining to lawlessness are staring us all in the face here in America these days. Where do you begin a discussion of the lawlessness that we've seen in the streets of our cities and really all over the country?
Oh, absolutely. The term lawlessness overwhelmingly comes up. We've got to not look naturally at spiritual issues. That's exactly what we're talking about. When you see entire communities, and you know, forgive me for those who are law-abiding citizens. I don't mean to paint with a broad brush here, but when you see a significant amount, I'll say it that way, a significant amount of communities railing against law enforcement, when you see law enforcement crippled by, you know, their superiors in their response to lawlessness, then absolutely we have an encouragement for lawlessness. And I would say we've kind of moved past encouraging lawlessness, but now we're seeing it celebrated. These are the people who become the heroes in communities. I mean, you look at just last week, a couple weeks ago, you've got children still dying in these same cities where they're chanting Black Lives Matter. But, you know, it's not making a whole lot of national news headlines because these little black children whose lives do matter are being slaughtered by other black men, other black thugs in the neighborhood. You've got one 9-year-old little girl who was murdered by a stray bullet doing her homework inside her home. And so, but we're not talking about this because the narrative is that law enforcement is the enemy and law enforcement is single-handedly picking apart our communities and destroying black men. And we know that that is just incorrect. We know that it's a narrative that is sensational, but it is absolutely inaccurate.
Miki Addison, I've been worried for quite some time, and I think my greatest worries are being confirmed. What we're seeing with law enforcement professionals, men and women, black and white, Asian, Hispanic, their ethnicity, their skin color, doesn't matter, trained, deputized law enforcement officials, to me, give every indication that they're scared to death to carry out the full duties of their sworn position for fear that the public turns on them, that the mayor of the city turns on them, that prosecutorial forces turn on them. We have, what, I think six police officers, a racially mixed bunch of police officers being prosecuted right now for arresting a young African-American male in the Baltimore, Maryland area. He died while in custody. We don't know what all happened there, but there's every indication that he was assaulting and taking swipes at police officers. Public opinion, at least the loudest voices among the public, say, go after the law enforcement officials and let the lawless civilians do what they will. It seems to me that we're reaping the consequences of that kind of mindset. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, we just want to say last week or maybe the week before, there was a police officer who thought he was making a routine stop of a vehicle that was driving erratically in Alabama. And it turns out that this guy in the vehicle begins to attack him. He takes his own service weapon and begins to beat him with it. And he required like 6 to 12 staples in his head. He left him for dead, basically. And amazingly and disturbingly, people recorded this. No one moved to help this officer. There were people tweeting out the video with just, I won't even mention some of the comments that were made, because it was almost as if, simply because he was a law enforcement officer, he deserved to be beaten just for making a routine traffic stop. This guy was kind of, driving erratically, so he pulled him over, and he wasn't even going to arrest him. He actually called for backup because he's an FBI agent, so he was on his way somewhere else. But before he could get there, this barbarian jumps out of his car and proceeds to attack this officer. Now, listen, here's the twist to your point, Austin. This officer, who didn't want to be named and for good reason, said this. He said that he responded to this man as gently as possible because he didn't want to make news headlines. He said, we're in a bad situation right now, those of us who are in law enforcement. And so he did not use force against this man who was attacking him because he didn't want to be perceived in the media as one of those officers. He didn't want his family to face threats. He didn't want his name to be smeared in news headlines all across the country while he's being beaten almost to death. We are in trouble. Lawlessness is celebrated, and now what's worse is that our law enforcement, they feel crippled by this. They are paralyzed. They don't know how to act because all that they thought they were commissioned to do, they are now being told not to do it. And not only are they being told this by their superiors, but culturally, they're being told not to do this. They're being seen as the bad guys. We've got to jump off this crazy ship. There's something wrong. There's something that has gone awry in our culture. And listen, all of us suffer as a result of this.
We are suffering. Miki Addison, stand by. We'll continue in just a moment. Miki Addison, some thoughts, yes, from the African-American community on how the church can and should and is responding to the problem of lawlessness in our culture. Back in moments. It's 16 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. From the Faith Radio Network, good morning. I'm Austin Hill. Miki Addison, she is with the Urban Family Talk Network, co-host of the Airing the Addisons syndicated broadcast that is part of a different network. She's gracious enough to join us here on our morning program periodically. She's on our newsline now here on the Faith Radio Network. Listen, what is the appropriate response from Christians, the body of Christ, in our country at such a time as this? I'd like to think that regardless of me being a white male or you being a black woman, regardless of one's ethnicity or gender or socioeconomic status, I'd like to think Christians could speak in unity and speak reason to this unreasonable and chaotic scenario. What does that look like in your estimation?
Well, it begins with us being unafraid to speak truthfully. You know, that's one of the big problems that we face, Austin. You have a lot of people, well-meaning Christians included, who are afraid to speak truthfully, because who wants to speak out on an issue and then be labeled a racist? Nobody wants that. I mean, even myself as a black woman, when I speak out on these issues, I'm called an Uncle Tom. You know, I hate myself. I must want to be white. I don't like being black because I'm speaking truthfully to these issues. So I understand the fear of that attack. But look, man, we've not been given a spirit of fear, you know? I mean, listen, when we stand up and we speak out truthfully regarding these issues, yes, some people are going to have to, you know, face the possibility of being called a racist, but what are we aiming for? Are we trying to focus and press and point people towards eternity, or are we trying to live comfortably in the now? I would say that for Christians, we're trying to point people towards eternity. Well, what does that look like in the context of this type of discussion? Do we know, do we believe the Bible, that all lawlessness is sin, that all sin is lawlessness? We believe that 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 teaches us that. So we point people towards being law-abiding citizens. We point them to Romans chapter 13, and we say that we have rulers in place. They're put there as ministers of God. I mean, can you imagine that? So we're supposed to respect law enforcement. That's not, you know, disrespectful to speak in those tones. So we, as the body of Christ, we've got to admit, listen, we've got to admit that we have some bad officers who are in law enforcement. We've got to admit that. But what we're not going to do is to make that the sum total of all of the law enforcement officers that we would run into on a daily basis. See, a lot of times people want to plug their ears if they don't hear you acknowledge what is clearly obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So what is clearly obvious is that we have had some situations where we have watched it ourselves and we go, that is too much. That's unspeakable. We've got to be able to admit that, right? But then beyond that, we've got to say, but that does not represent every law enforcement officer in this country. I mean, let's be honest. We've got law enforcement officers that are going into places in the hoods and ghettos in our country that many Americans have never even been in. They have no idea the kind of danger that these officers are in on a daily basis. And their objective and their goal is to make it home to their families. We have got to talk about that, every one of us.
Final question for you, Miki Addison. What do you recommend as a, I guess, a productive first step towards this engagement that you're describing, be it that it's a layperson or a clergy member, either one? What's a good first step, a productive first step to engaging the church, getting the church to engage more rationally, sensibly, and productively on these concerns?
Well, you know what? This may be maybe too practical for some people listening. But I would say maybe you need to have a prayer rally for law enforcement in your neighborhood, in your area. Maybe your church needs to organize a prayer rally where you call for law enforcement and those who are on the front lines, who risk their lives every day for our safety, and you call them out to your function, to your event, where you say, you know, maybe you're going to grill or you're going to, you know, provide a meal. But ultimately, we're going to pray for them. We're going to ask the Lord for their safety. Well, what does that do? First of all, it is an encouragement to law enforcement. We need these guys and gals. We need them. Mm-hmm. We need to stop pretending like we can police ourselves, because if we could do that, then we would not have any use for them. But as it is, we know that we are incapable of doing that. We have thugs and we have villains among us, and we need law enforcement. So this would be an encouragement to them. And then secondly, it would send a strong message to everybody looking on that we stand with law enforcement. We support them. Look, my husband and I have four children. We have two girls and two boys. And my son, who is 5 years old, we were headed to a grocery store. I'll make this point really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We were headed into a grocery store one afternoon, and there was a collection of police officers just in the parking lot, you know. And as we were going in, he said, "Oh, Mom," he said, "I'm afraid." And I said, "Afraid of what?" And he said, "Those police officers." And I said, "Why are you afraid of them?" And he said, "I don't know." And I go, "Oh, no, that's not rational. You have no reason to be afraid." So before I went in to make my grocery shopping trip,
yes,
I did a beeline. And we walked over to that group. My 5-year-old son, here, this is a young black boy we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go over to this group, this pack of there were some law enforcement officers on motorcycles. There were some in cruisers. And we walk over, and I say, "Excuse me, gentlemen." I say, "My name is Miki, and this is my son, JD. And he's never met a police officer in person before, and he was a little bit afraid. I would like to introduce him to you and let him know that you serve our community." Those officers embraced him. One picked him up and put him on his bike, put his helmet on. I mean, it was amazing, and that completely changed my son's perception of law enforcement. We're not doing that anymore in our communities. When I was a girl in school, we had Officer Friendly who visited our schools, so our perception of law enforcement was that they were here to help us,
mm-hmm.
and that has gone the way of the dinosaur. We've got to get back to that. We've got to change the narrative. We can't just keep responding. We've got to be proactive. So our churches need to encourage law enforcement one-on-one. We need to take our children and have them meet our police officers and change this destructive narrative, because they are providing a service for us that many of us would never, ever be willing to provide.
Miki Addison with the Urban Family Talk Organization, a division of the American Family Association. Listen, I know you need to run, so do I. Let's continue this conversation and talk about maybe starting a bit of a movement here. It may start small, but getting churches engaged in the supporting of law enforcement. Let's pick this up where we've left off next time.
I think that's a great idea. Thanks so much for having me on your show today, all.
Always great to speak with you. 25 past the hour, it's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Too practical for the church? Is that what she said? I hope that's not too practical. What she's suggesting makes all the sense in the world. Breakpoints along the way next from the Faith Radio Network. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.